Hi, I'm Scott Stanley, Exploring the Deep Things of God, DTG Ministries, DTGREV, the Deep Things of God in Revelation. And today I wanted to present something that would have a depth of meaning, but maybe not be so deep that people can't understand the symbols. Now, each one of these podcasts builds on the one before it. And you need to listen to all these podcasts if you're going to understand the direction this ministry has gone in an explanation of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. What is salvation? What are the symbols? Why even use symbols, especially in the book of Revelation? And these things, again, are covered in the past recordings we've made. We're putting all of these on our website, accessible on the website, but you can reach them from different podcasts. One of them that we go to is Podbean, podbean.com. In this broadcast, though, how can you teach these things without it being deep? It's going to be deep. And I'm not trying to deceive anyone. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help people understand the book of Revelation and how this is the testimony of Christ. And I don't think we've even touched on that yet, really, but we will. But what does this have to do with the testimony of Jesus Christ? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. What does that even mean? We'll touch on that in a future broadcast. But in our last broadcast, we looked at the living creatures and the elders. And just a quick explanation of the elders. When you read Revelation, you know, chapter 4, you see the four living creatures and the 24 elders, and they appear to be in heaven. And I can remember thinking, how could they be in heaven? Well, they had to have died and been raised. Is there such a thing? Is there anybody who died and was raised from the dead, say a group of people, and are taken to heaven? And there's evidence of this as you read, you know, say the Gospel of Matthew. And in Matthew, at Christ's resurrection, there were other people who were raised. And I want to just read this in Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to start at verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection. So this began sounding like it happens at his death, but it happened after his resurrection. Why? Because Jesus is the one who raises the dead. And after he was raised from the dead by the Father, he raised others from the dead. And these people were seen going into the holy city. Matthew 27:53. So I looked at that and I said, well, you know, there are people in heaven. Are they the 24 elders? And I realized later that, you know, 24 divides by 6 four times, and 6 is the number of a person, a man. And I realized there are 4 elders. Well, why have these people raised from the dead? Because they're a type. They're a type of the believer who unites with Christ in death and experiences that spiritual resurrection. And you are taken into the heavens to be seated with Christ, Ephesians 2. So, all of these people died. If they were raised from the dead at his resurrection, they died before the cross. And that was how I realized the symbol or the similitude being used in Revelation 4. Those 4 elders, elder is old man. And the 4 living creatures represent the information that you had been given before you had an understanding of the cross. But when that understanding of the cross comes, those 4 living creatures become the 144,000, which is a symbolic number. Now, I know I said this in the last podcast, but I just want to say that, and I want you to go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, after the tribes, after the sealing of the 144,000, after this, I beheld in a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues. And that sounds like Revelation 5, the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures. See, that's the understanding of the people before you're redeemed with the truth of God. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And the throne is your conscience. For God to sit on your throne, you have a conscience toward God and unto the Lamb. Verse 11, "And all the messengers stood round about the throne, and the elders and the 4 living creatures fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God. And they said, Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be unto our God forever and ever." And one of the elders, one of the old men, an understanding, a person you were before you understood the cross. Because remember in Romans 6, the old man is rendered inactive. And he's going to have to be redeemed. "One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these arrayed in white robes, which he just pointed to in verse 9? Who are these people in white robes? What is this? And I said, Sir, you know." Why would he know? Because it's his thought. It is his understanding that's been redeemed. See, 4 is earthly completeness. There are 4 horses, an elder on each horse. That's earthly completeness. That fulfills the earth. "Sir, you know what they are." And he said, "These are they which came out of great tribulation." Now, maybe you can relate to this. Revelation 7:14. When God begins to change the way you see the sun and the moon and the stars are cast down. And maybe while you're listening to the podcast of DTG Ministries, it creates great tribulation within your own heart. Because what you thought to be true on that white, red, black, and pale horse, what you thought to be true, the Lord is going to come in and say, wait a minute, it isn't true. Well, why isn't it true? Because you're coming out of a great apostasy. You're coming away. You're going to quit listening to people who deny the Father and Son and have the spirit of Antichrist and deny that Christ came in the flesh having the spirit of Antichrist. You're going to quit listening to that. And it creates a great tribulation for somebody like me to begin to explain to you eternal truth that you're being told, well, that guy must be in a cult. He doesn't believe the Trinity. Or that guy is the spirit of Antichrist. He's denying Christ came. Well, I'm not denying he came. I'm denying he came as a Trinity God. He came in the flesh. He came in the flesh and had to grow in wisdom and knowledge and be taught of God and be anointed at his baptism and being told he's the Son of God, having a born from above experience, which he talks about to Nicodemus, being born from above. So there is a great tribulation, but look at what he says here about these truths. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now here's something that will cause tribulation. If you don't understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God born in eternity past, and that he portrayed iniquity, he was the similitude of sinful flesh on that cross, and he prays the prayer that we pray with him and unite with him in death. If you have not done that, guess what? You haven't washed your robes in the blood of the Lamb. To wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb, you're going to have to be baptized into his death, which if you're listening to these podcasts and you've gotten this far, you have been immersed into his death. And you will have experienced the tribulation spoken of here. That is an inward tribulation. It shakes you to the core to realize that only Catholicism was promoted at the second century and forward. Only Catholicism was promoted. They weren't promoting Christianity, they were promoting Catholicism. And the Bible was true. There was a great apostasy beginning in John's day and Paul's day, and it would last to the second coming of Christ. No joke. Coming out of that apostasy will cause great tribulation, but will allow you to wash your robes and make them white in the blood. Because now you'll understand it. Therefore, because of that, now remember, he isn't talking about people, but the thoughts that we possess. So if your thoughts are following through on that, then you are being discussed here. But it really is what's in your heart. Therefore are they before the throne of God, the conscience. These truths remain before the conscience. These truths remain in your mind to make atonement for the people in your life who are hurting you, to make an atonement so you can live at peace with all men. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Remember, he says, I've overcome the world in John 16. What is the world? 1 John 2:16. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride. These truths give you the tools to overcome the world. Be of good cheer. He says, I've overcome the world. Well, they're before the throne of God. They become a part of your conscience that you pull from to stand before God, holy and without blemish, in love. They're before the throne of God, and these truths, the 144,000, the truths that bring healing, which are servants of God, they serve God by being in your heart. They serve Him day and night in His temple. In question, what's the temple? Why, ye are the temple, Paul said. You're the temple of God. These truths are in His temple, and they serve God by helping you overcome iniquity. That's what we want in our lives. That's what we want to be. We want to be right with God, but we're going to have to understand the cross and humble ourselves to see Jesus Christ, born in eternity, emptying Himself, becoming a man, dying on that cross, God painting the picture of iniquity and how to come out of it. Those are the thoughts that have been redeemed. They're before the throne. They serve God by helping you day and night. They serve God day and night in God's temple. And He that sits on your conscience shall tabernacle over them through the conscience. See, God tabernacles over them through your conscience. These truths are full. These truths shall not hunger or thirst, neither shall the sun fall on them or any heat, and I could say any heat of anger. Why? Because when you go read the Old Testament and you see God coming against the enemy is iniquity. And the sun will not fall on them. There won't be any heat. These are the truths of God. And the Son of God fully, totally supports these truths because it brings salvation to the believer. Now notice, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun fall on them or any heat of anger, because the Lamb, stop. What do you mean the Lamb? He's not saying the Christ, although we know this is who it is. But why say the Lamb? Because the Lamb died. When you see the Lamb, it reminds you of the death of the Son of God, of the painted picture of the resurrection, because this is the Lamb that was slain who is now standing. This is the Lamb that was slain. The Lamb which is in the midst of your conscience shall tend to them. King James put feed them. The Lamb will tend to these truths and lead these truths unto living fountains of water. What in the world are living fountains of water? Well, I want to read from James chapter 3. And let me just go ahead and start reading. Let me read at verse 8. The tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. James 3, 8, now 9. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the likeness of God. Out of the mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? See, people are fountains of water. In other words, you can come to God's church and receive water for your thirst. Well, God will take these truths and lead them unto living fountains of water. These truths will go to the people who have found and united with Christ in his death. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I think that last verse points to the living fountains of waters. Why? Well, it's just interesting that here there is a colon after fountains of water. And a colon is just a hard pause, stating that what comes next is continuing what we're talking about. So if I read it like that, he'll lead them unto people. What people? The ones who are going to wipe tears from off all their eyes. I guess this is something that, again, I'm praying this isn't so deep and so far out there you can't get it. Because even if what Revelation is saying here that I'm reading, even if this isn't what it means, what I'm telling you is a truth. What I'm telling you is the truth. God is watching over his truth. He tabernacles over his truth. And the Lamb risen, who was slain and given you that painted picture, the Lamb, which is in the midst of your conscience, will tend to them and lead them to other people who desire to know the truth. And when you receive this truth, you can wipe away all tears from your eyes. It's a time of rejoicing. I'll tell you, there are times that when I consider these truths, it just chokes me up. It's like I can't even talk about it because it's so wonderful. I'm the guy that found Jesus, fell at his feet, and am clinging with both arms around his feet, around his ankles, and I can't let go. I refuse to let go. And I seek the Lord for deeper truth, more meaning. I pray that he would give me and his church, his spirit without measure. God has a work to do. And what you're reading here in Revelation 7, the redemption of those four living creatures, the redemption of those elders, becoming something that is just more than wonderful. You know, to live today, be alive today at the end of the world and be receiving truth that is eternal. Eternal truth. Much of this truth was processed before Christ was even born in eternity. It's older than Christ himself. And to be sitting where I'm sitting, living where I'm living, having a podcast describing these things, to me, is more than a miracle. If any of us make it to the end, it's going to be a miracle, because the apostasy is so great. That stone that is in front of the tomb of Christ, the Roman soldiers, and I mean those who teach Catholicism, see, it's all a picture. It's all a similitude. The Roman soldiers are guarding that tomb so the real Jesus cannot come out. But it's a messenger of God, like me, like you, that can roll that concept away, roll that stone away, and let the real Jesus come out and be seen and teach us. The Roman soldiers are guarding it. They'll do everything they can to prevent the truth. And not just anybody can move the stone. It takes angels, angels of God, messengers of God who can do that. And then you take hold of that truth, you enter into God's kingdom, and the kingdom of heaven will suffer violence because people are going to try to take it away from you. But you will take that kingdom and cling to it and enter it and cling to it and be there forever. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but we will take it by force and not allow the world and the people in the world to steal it away, whether it be father, mother, sister, brother, whoever it is. We love them, but we love the truth more. That is the guy who will enter the kingdom and glorify his Savior. Precious Father, what can I say but I thank you with all of my heart, and I pray for those who are hearing this truth that maybe they can get past me to hear you and apply the truth to their own heart. Enter your kingdom and be saved from self and redeemed from all iniquity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.